ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around telling him he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. Two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span. This is episode number 161, and we're going back a little bit. Some Donnell Jones, man. Some 1999 shit, man. Donnell Jones, rock with your boy.
Now there she goes again, driving by. I hit my horn, she throws her beams on high. I put my joint in gear, and I try to give chase. She disappears again without a trace. Tell me, have you seen her?
Which way does she go? Pretty young.
Yes, indeed, man. We are back on this Sunday evening, man, chilling out here at the Span Abode. Listening to this Donnell Jones, man. You know what's interesting? This song sounds very stalkerific. Going back, listening to this shit now, man. Like, at the time, I thought this was some really cool shit, man. It's almost like now that I'm like a little older and like the way I look at shit is a little bit different. Like, my man sound like he's stalking this woman right now, man. Real talk. It sounds real good on the song. But it sounds like Donnell Jones is stalking this chick real quick. Sounds like he's stalking it. So, yeah, man. A little problematic, but it still sounds good, man. Real talk. I like that album. That Where I Want to Be album was probably his best album out of all the ones that he dropped, man. Another real interesting tidbit, man. Funny thing, man. Like, Donnell Jones' father, he's a reverend in Chicago. And ironically, like, he officiated my younger brother's wedding, right? And I'm going to tell you guys right now, like, Donnell Jones' daddy sings a hell of a lot better than Donnell Jones. It's a shame that Donnell Jones' daddy did not, like, get a record deal or something, and he's known as well as his son is, man, because that's the singer in the family. Real talk, that's the singer in the family. But, yeah, man, going back on some Donnell Jones shit, I remember that being in heavy rotation back in 99, back when the nigga was in college and stuff like that. People was borrowing that CD, burning that CD, all of that stuff, man. So, yeah, I had to go back. I've been feeling nostalgic, man. I don't know. Like, I guess the older I get, man, the more I'm, like, longing for some of the simpler times, right? The simpler times. But, yeah, man, we are doing this here on Sunday evening, man. This is episode number 161 of the Span Report. I am your host, Mr. Span, again. And we got some stuff to talk about, man. We do. We got some just a lot of shit. Let me just put it like that. I didn't even really take a whole lot of notes this week. Like, I didn't. I mean, it's a couple bullet points that I want to talk about, but for the most part, I pretty much know what it is we're going to talk about tonight. But before we do, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Spirit Report Podcast. Let your voice be heard. You can hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. Of course, I'll play those messages on the show, respond in kind. And also, the phone lines will be open for the show. So if you guys want to call in during the show, we can chop it up while we're doing this show live, man. Real talk. So go ahead and do that. Lock that phone number in. Also, you can email me at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Go ahead, send those emails in. I'll read those emails here live on the show and respond here on the show. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead and follow me there. We could chop it up throughout the week, talk about some of the things we talked about on the show. Also, you can go to the Mr. Span fan page. Like the Mr. Span fan page on Facebook. I talk about a lot of little shit that I talk about here, talk about on Twitter, talk about on Facebook. It's all over the place, but you can go to the Mr. Span fan page and go ahead and like that over there. And for all of your Span Report needs, go to www.thespanreport.com. All of the podcasts are available there. The videos of the podcasts are available there. You can vote in the polls. You can donate to the show as often as you like and as much as you like. And it's, of course, always appreciated here at the Span Report when you guys can go ahead and do that, man. Real talk. And also, I know it's a lot. I know it's a lot, but if you guys can go ahead and hook your boy up with a 5-star review on iTunes and or Stitcher, it would be very, very, very much appreciated if you could do that, man. It helps the show grow. Real talk. It lets people know that you fucking with us over here at the Spirit Report Podcast. It puts us on some of those lists, you know, with algorithms, so, you know, iTunes or Stitcher. It puts us in a more prominent position to where other people can discover what we got going on over here at the Spirit Report Podcast. And it's your way of putting on for those of you who can't, you know, who can't donate or whatever else, man. So for all of you guys who have the chance to do that, it's very much appreciated here at the show, man. Real talk. And shout out to the people who have been hitting me up on Twitter, man. And you tell me that you like you follow me on Twitter, and then you tell me you've been listening to the show. And like, I hadn't like talked to you, like you hadn't, like we haven't had any interactions, but man, I've been listening to you forever. I hadn't heard from you, man. So I appreciate you guys going ahead and letting me know that you guys are listening to the show and that you are following me now on Twitter. It's very, like I said, man, all interaction is cool, except for when it's disrespectful interaction and I'm gonna just cuss you the fuck out. Right. So that's pretty much what it is, man. That's what we got going on. But we got some shit we got to talk about tonight, man. I got a few things that I kind of wanted to talk about and they were on my mind, so let's just go right on ahead and get right into the show now. Over the course of this week, man, I've seen a few different things that have kind of made me wonder about people a little bit. And one of those things was the entire talk about the Rompa, man. Now, I get it. There's a whole lot of dudes out here who will not wear a romper. There's a whole lot of guys out here who feel like the romper is just not for them. They would never wear it. It looks funny to them. It's not a part of their fashion sense and all of that, man. I get that. And I get like, yo, we're going to get these jokes off. I get that like, yo, we're going to clown some folks. But one of the things about this whole romper shit talk, man, and it was inevitable, but a lot of the shit, a lot of the talk around the whole romper wear shit is how niggas took it to a whole nother level in like extolling the virtues of their manhood, so to speak, right? So you got a whole plethora of niggas that like want to go out of their way to show you how manly they are, to talk about like, yo, man, ain't no way in hell I wear that romper, man. That's some bullshit, nigga. I ain't gonna never wear that, nigga. That shit make you gay, dog. Like, if I see you in a romper, nigga, I'm clowning you, dog. You gay as hell for that. And I'm like, Now, wearing a romper, although it is not a part of my fashionable repertoire, I am a bit put off. I'm a bit perplexed by dudes and their consternation concerning this, so to speak. Like, I don't get, like, why you so mad? Like, One, you don't have to wear it. Nobody's forcing you to wear it. Your mama's not forcing you to wear it. You've worn one as a child, maybe, but nobody's forcing you to wear it now as a grown ass man. You don't have to wear that goddamn romper. It's not your thing. Fine. You ain't got to wear no romper. Two, I'm a little perplexed by how much like dudes are invested in the wear of another man's clothes. I am a little kind of I'm perplexed by that. I'm perplexed by this idea that you ascribe a sexuality to a man based on the clothes that he's wearing. I am perplexed by this. And I know I keep saying perplexed because it's confusing. It's a little aggravating. It's ignorant. It's all of those things wrapped up together, man. So like I'm looking at cats. The ironic thing, man, is that I'm looking at cats who I know walk around with their ass out all the fucking time talking about something being gay. Now, I am not saying that if you walk around with your ass out, with your pants sagging and all that other shit, that that means you are gay. That does not mean that you are gay. And I also understand that there's the talk about, well, this came from the prisons, and if you're walking around with your ass hanging out in the prisons, then that means you were sexually available to the other prisoners. I don't know how true that shit is either. I don't want to buy into any of those stereotypes. I don't want to buy into any of those stories that people pass around to shame people into conforming to a certain way of thinking, right? Because that's pretty much what this is. Like, you're seeing dudes go out of their way to express how much they don't like this in order to get other dudes to conform to get them to conform to an idea of what they think manhood is. It's really what this is about. So they put out these verbose statements, these very, very, very overt masculine, you know, statements like, yo, I bet not catch none of my dudes in that shit, or we going in on that fool, man. Ain't no way in hell, nigga, you gonna wear that and not get clowned. It's a way to kind of get this dude to not be an individual. You got to be the same type of man or have the same idea of manhood that I have when it comes to your clothing. Right? And I saw a whole hell of a lot of that shit going on, man. Like, cats I went to college with, man. Cats I grew up with, man. All of these niggas are freaking out. Like, yo, dude, you ain't got to wear this shit, dog. Like, nobody's forcing this upon you. Now, whether or not it's going to be a trend or not is something entirely different. Like, I get it. Sometimes we are told that certain things are going to be a trend. And a lot of times I think it's, you know, like the fashion magazines and some of the fashion media, they'll put things out and say that this is going to be the new trend to get people to buy into it. And then other times, and every time it does not work. You know what I mean? But for the visceral reaction that I seen dudes go through to expel, like to make sure that people knew that they were not for the shits when it came to the romper, man. Like it was sad. It was confusing. It was funny. It was all of those things wrapped up in one, man. So it was odd to me to see like dudes so invested in what guys are wearing and how they wear it and whatnot. Now, another thing that I thought was funny, man, like this, a friend of mine, she's been on the show, Corey Boyd. I went to high school with Corey Boyd. Corey Boyd Bell, I'm sorry, this woman is married. Corey Boyd Bell, comedian out of Chicago. She's been on the show here at the Spirit of Poor podcast. We got to have her on again. She made a post that's been like, it went viral on Facebook, and she's got over 15,000 shares of this picture that she made, where basically she's showing this dude in a romper, various sets of rompers, and then it's just the pose with a picture of three young men with their pants hanging off their ass. And, you know, the question was, you know, the rompers are gay, but the pants hanging off your ass is not. And it's the irony, and I think some people may have missed, you know, well, they may not have missed it, they just might not necessarily agree with the juxtaposition. But the thing was, and I saw this too, and I noticed this too, was that there are dudes who I know sag their ass, like have their ass out every day. And I'm not even talking about just their boxes hanging out. I'm talking about dudes, they got crack and everything hanging. And all of a sudden, they're worried about the perception of being gay and exposing a supposedly private part to the world did not seem quote unquote homosexual to them. Now, let me make this very clear. The clothes you wear do not make you a homosexual, right? The way you talk does not make you a homosexual. The only thing that I think makes you a homosexual is having a sexual attraction to and engaging in sexual activities with those of the same sex that you are. That's it. I think that's, I mean, at least that's my understanding of it. I don't think that anybody who decides that for whatever reason they're going to wear a certain article of clothing makes them gay. I don't think that for whatever reason, if a dude decides that he doesn't want to fit the norm or that he doesn't want to fit the preconceived notion of what manhood is, that somehow means his sexuality is in question. And it's one of those things, man, as we're seeing this go across the board, man, like, yeah, people are talking about the effeminization of the black man, because I've seen a lot of that bullshit talk going around too. Like, yo, man, like, people are free to be who the fuck they are, and they're not conforming necessarily with these old ideas as to how folks are to purport themselves as human beings, man. And everybody isn't going to line up with your line of thinking. We know this, man. Like, hell, even as I talk on the podcast, as I talk on this podcast and I talk and I rail against certain shit, man, I understand that, yo, even my perspective is mine and somebody else might not necessarily agree with it. I know there are a segment of America, a segment of human beings that don't agree with every fucking thing I say. And that's all right. That's okay. But like on issues like this, where like, yo, somebody wearing an article of clothing, like, yo, it's really not my bag. I really don't care. And I kind of wish that sometimes, I really do kind of wish that sometimes as a reflex, because I think a lot of times this is a reflex for a lot of guys when it comes to articles like this and when it comes to clothes like this, is a reflex for them to act as though they have no invested, they don't have a vested interest in this. Like, they feel like they have to say something. They have to stand up for manhood. I've seen articles or pictures that talked about, you know, they had guys in suits. Like, this is how real men are dressed. Like, again, it's an arbitrary statute. Who determines what a real man is? Who determines what manhood is supposed to mean to you? I mean, we are all imbued with certain attributes. We're all imbued with certain qualities that people tell us what, you know, what it takes to mean to be a man. And sometimes when you grow up and you start learning things for yourself, sometimes you start to figure out that some of that shit that they told you when you was growing up was bullshit, and you can apply it as you need to your life. It doesn't mean that you're no longer a man. It doesn't mean that you no longer can, you know, you aren't a part of what manhood is. It just means you're your own man. Nobody can define that for you. So I thought it was interesting, man, that whole romper talk. Now, it was another thing that kind of came up on this whole romper thing, and I saw this kind of coming around, because this whole romper shit was like trending for like a couple days, right? Like, people were talking about this for a minute. I know it hits Twitter first. Twitter gets a whole lot of shit first, and then Facebook follows up a couple days later, right? But it was interesting, man. Like, I saw people talk about, you know, white people don't have these conversations. White people don't involve themselves in mindless conversations. And it's interesting. Well, not necessarily interesting. It's a bit short-sighted. To all of those who said that, you know, the jokes that people were making, because some of the jokes were just actually just being funny for the sake of being funny, and it wasn't in a malicious way. But for all the people who said that, you know what, white folks don't have these sort of conversations for 2 days or whatever else. White folks don't do this. White folks do that. One thing I want you to understand, the anti-blackness that comes with that, that sentiment that you automatically assume that just because black people are having a good time or because black people are focusing on a certain topic at a certain time and it's too long for your liking, that somehow white people are immune from this sort of thing, especially if you aren't white and aren't in the white community, right? It's a bit stupid to make that kind of comparison. And not only that, white people are not the gold standard when it comes to humanity. So in order for you to sit there and say that white people don't have these sort of conversations and it's silly for black folks to have these conversations and talk about this for a certain amount of time, like, yo, man, that's silly and it's stupid in and of itself to even think that White folks don't do this. They do. Whether you're privy to it or not is something entirely different. In much the same way that when folks talk about, you know, anything. Well, I don't see such and such doing this. I don't see Asians doing this. Well, I don't see Indians doing this. Like, yo, you aren't around them a whole hell of a lot either, bruh. So, yeah, man, it was interesting, man. Like, that whole romper thing, man, I'm going to tell you this. Me personally, your man Span, I can't do the romper shit. Like, my wife would tell you, I am not the most fashion-forward kind of guy, right? I am cool with some Levi's jeans, a button-up, or a nice crisp t-shirt with some of my Jordans on or some Adidas Neos, and I'm cool. You won't catch your boy Span in a romper. And it's not for the reasons that you think. Sometimes I like to look good. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes, like, if I get invited to be in a wedding, I'm like, yo, I get to wear a tux. Yes, I'm in, bruh. I got you. Because I think that's my time to look good. I mean, it's not about me, but still, yeah. Right? So, I won't wear a romper, but not for the reasons that you think. The only reason that I won't wear a romper is your man Span ain't got time to be getting all the way bucket naked to go take a shit, man. Like, real talk, I cannot be like rushing to the bathroom, trying to zip that motherfucker down. And especially if you in like a public restroom, bruh, now you got to have your whole fit sitting on the floor. And you don't know what the fuck been happening in that public restroom. Nigga done had diarrhea and a janitor was real lazy about cleaning that shit up. Now you got shit stains or shit residue all over your fit. And now you got to go back out in the club or back out amongst your people. And you got this shitty ass romper. Nah, bruh, I can't do it. I can't do it. And as a matter of fact, as someone who has to frequent the male bathroom and niggas be missing the toilet or missing the urinal, and I don't want, nah, man, I'm just cool. I'm cool. I am cool on that. No rompers for your man, Span. But for those of you who do decide that you want to wear a romper, man, rock your shit, man. Fuck these cats, man. Fuck these niggas, man. Do your thing. Do your motherfucking thing, man. Real talk. Now, yeah, man, that was an interesting thing that kind of happened over the course of the weekend. Who the fuck is this with these notifications? Yes, indeed. All right. So, now, another thing that that kind of happened over the course of the week, man, that I was made aware of. Now, of course, we don't, I like I said, I've said this before, and I think I said this with Brandon when he was on from Where's My 40 Acres, when he was on here at the Span Report. And I talked about being a little weary of talking about Donald Trump and like all of the bullshit that Donald Trump is involved in, all of the bullshit that he brings to his occupying of the White House and whatever else, right? And one of the things that I thought was interesting was the fact that Donald Trump, his administration, one of the things that was interesting about his election was the fact that for 8 years, we were told during the presidency of Obama, we were told that Obama was trying to take away our guns, right? We were told that Obama was trying to infringe upon our Second Amendment rights, right? Now, I am a former member of the NRA. I was a card-carrying member of the NRA. I bought all my guns during the Obama administration, right? Like, I never owned a gun, not personally. I never owned one until I was about 28, 29, right? So, you know, this the notion that Obama was trying to take our guns away has always been a foolish one, because he was never really about taking our guns away, but for sensible regulation of guns, whether that be making folks go through background checks, which I think the vast majority of gun owners support, is making people go through background checks in order to get guns, and to make sure that you have to register your firearm, you know what I mean? Like, to make sure that you have to get certain licensing in states to carry your firearm concealed, which I also support as a concealed carry member. Now, the only thing that I think should happen as someone who carries a concealed weapon, the only thing that I really think should happen is that there should be universal reciprocity when it comes to gun licensing. So if I'm licensed to carry a concealed weapon in the state of Michigan, my license should be honored in the state of Illinois, a state that does not honor my license, and, you know, for whatever reason, right? And we've all been through that story, right? Now, the interesting thing about Donald Trump being elected is the fact that gun sales since his election has actually been low, like really, really low, like precipitously low. there was an article that actually was on the news here in Detroit. And I think I'm gonna read this here from, this is from clickondetroit.com. And it says, a company that makes guns and ammunition is blaming the election for the unprecedented drop in demand. The gun and ammo industries have suffered declining sales since the election of Donald Trump, and the language from Vista Outdoor in its earnings report is some of the most dramatic yet. Gun sales had thrived under the Obama administration and during the Hillary Clinton campaign. Gun enthusiasts feared the Democratic leaders would impose stricter gun control laws. With Trump in the White House and Republicans running Congress, that threat has vanished and sales are suffering. So for the 8 years that Obama was president, Republicans and the NRA ginned up this whole idea that they're trying to take your shit away from you. You need to get as much gun, as many guns as you can. You need to go ahead and get all this ammo you can. As a matter of fact, I remember right after Sandy Hook, after all those kids were gunned down, like the clamoring for the AR-15 went up, right? Like everyone wanted to get an AR-15 because they thought the AR-15 was about to get banned. The price of ammunition went up. There was an ammunition shortage. Like, I remember before this happened, before all of this shit happened, I remember being able to go to the gun shop or go to Walmart or go to Target or go to Meijer, and I could buy a box, or, you know, I could buy a box of 100 22 long rifle ammunition. I could buy a box of 100 shells for like $5, right? Now, like, the going price for that, if you're going to get a box of 100, is more like $15, $16. Now, of course, for those of you who don't aren't into guns or whatever, it's like, yo, that's still ridiculously cheap. Yeah, I get it. And the 22 long rifle round is what I use, really, because it's the cheapest round. Like, I used to like to kind of, you know, it sounds bad, but like I target shoot with that. Right. I enjoy shooting that. Like, that's like playing around. Not if you play around with guns, but it's like for recreational shooting, so to speak. At least that's what I use the 22 long rifle round for, to recreationally shoot. But the idea that Obama was going to take away our guns was a real prominent idea that was spread around amongst Republicans and the NRA and what have you. So now that we don't have Hillary Clinton and we don't have Obama as his boogeyman to the gun lobby and to a lot of the people who felt like they need to own guns because they were scared of Obama and his communism and his Muslim loving and all these other things, they don't feel the need to go out, buy up all the ammunition and hoard it. They don't feel the need to go out and buy up all these rifles and jack up the price for all these rifles. They're just chilling, right? And it says, oh, it goes on to say that Vista reported a 5% decline in sales and a 28% plunge in profit in the first 3 months of the year. The company said sales of its shooting sports category had dropped by double digits, and it expects its sales in 223 caliber ammo used in AR-15s to be poor for months to come, which means that shit is going to be cheap now. Right. Also, it says that Vista owns 50 brands, including Savage Arms, which makes a variety of guns, including military style, semi-automatic rifles, and the ammo brands Federal Premium Ammunition, Estate Cartridge, American Eagle, Spear Ammo, Blazer, and CCI, both of which are like really popular with the 22 long rifle ammunition. And also, it says another gun company, Smith & Wesson, has been expanding on its non-gun outdoor products like tree saws and survival gear, and changed its name last year to American Outdoor Brands. So right now, the election of Donald Trump has lost money for a lot of these gun companies. Who knew that the election of a Republican president and a Republican Congress would mean that the the gun lobby would actually see its demand go down amongst their most target audience, which was white males or older white males, older conservative white males. They don't have that fear that the country is being taken away from them so much, right? Because they elected Donald Trump. They put all these Republicans in office. They feel like they've gotten their country back, so to speak, right? The interesting thing about this interesting thing about this is that gun sales have gone up with a segment of the population. And that segment of the population is black folks. Right? Now, I have been a proponent of responsible gun ownership, especially with black people, on this show and like just period. Like, even in the age of Black Lives Matter and with all these instances of police violence against people of color, I have my thinking has always been this. If I don't believe that the people who are charged with my protection are willing to do that and are also looking at me as a threat, then it is my responsibility to protect myself and to protect my family and to not depend on the authorities for that, right? That has been my attitude throughout. Now, I understand that a lot of folks will disagree with me on that. And I get it. I mean, I get it, man. We see what happens in like the inner city all the time. We see what happens with, you know, people who are being irresponsible with their firearms. I get it. Trust me, I do. But at the same time, if I don't, I feel like it's my responsibility for my own protection and nobody else's. Nobody loves me the way that I love me. Nobody loves my family the way that I love my family. And if I love my family, then I feel it is my responsibility and it is my duty to protect them in any way possible that I can. And if that means that I'm going to have a few guns in my home, then that's what it's going to be, right? So, ironically, it's like there's a lot more people of color after the election of Donald Trump who are feeling a bit like that, right? So this story comes out of NBC News, and they're talking about the age of Trump is producing more black gun owners. And it says, when Leslie Green was a little girl in Houston in the 1960s, just a few decades after the routine lynchings of blacks in the South, her father would go off to work a late night shift and leave a gun and a pile of bullets behind. If any strangers come looking for trouble, he told Green and her sister, you blast them into the stars. Nobody ever came looking, but even as an 11-year-old girl, learning to shoot a gun she could barely lift, Green says she recognized the important lesson her father was teaching her about being black in America. It's a dangerous world out there, and neither the government nor the police are likely to be there to save you if trouble decides to make a visit. Green kept a gun of her own into her early adulthood, but got rid of it once she settled down and had a family. In the 25 years since, Green, now 60 and living in Cleveland, hasn't touched a gun, at least not until the election of President Donald J. Trump. There's some fiery rhetoric that some would say is incendiary racist rhetoric from the White House, Green said on a recent evening, sitting in her living room, sipping British tea from her finest tea set and nibbling on a marble pound cake, cheese, and crackers. White supremacy groups are kind of feeling emboldened. And so Green, a grandmother, is now in the market for a handgun. It says it'll be one of those smaller ones that can be concealed very easily, she said, and nothing that's going to be so powerful. I'm not into that. I don't need nothing powerful. I just need something that stops somebody if they come after me. Now, I know they say fear sells a lot of these guns, and that's probably true. But also, it's the attitude of, and I'll say this again, taking the responsibility for your own safety into your own hands, not depending on anybody else for that. And it's funny, like, you know, like the attitude that some people on the left, and this is where I think I upset some folks when I talk about this issue, is that some folks on the left, when they talk about, like, especially in this age where we talk about, you know, the police fucking up, it's like, yo, I'm to turn to the very people I do not trust to help me in a situation where I'm at my most vulnerable. You know what I mean? Like, it's that conundrum that a lot of black folks are in. Like, I don't really trust these motherfuckers, but y'all telling me these are the people that I need to call if something's going wrong. And for a lot of people, that just doesn't connect. Now, I'm not telling anybody never or not to call the police if they feel like that's something that they should and would do and they need to do. But at the same time, I'm saying that, yo, man, like, when the police can't get there in time, or if you already, like, feel like you've never really had a good relationship with the police, sometimes it's better for you to be prepared to protect yourself. That's all I'm really saying at the end of the day. But further down in his article, it says that owners of gun ranges say first-time black gun buyers are flocking in, filling open seats in gun safety and concealed carry classes, and diversifying the ranks of enthusiasts who tend to be older white males. People feel that they have perhaps a president that they don't feel is going to protect them, that's there for them, said Kevin Jones, the Ohio director of the National African American Gun Association and co-owner of Urban Sports Unlimited in Cleveland. Jones said that since the election, he's seen about 3- or 4-fold increase in African Americans coming to his shop to buy firearms. Most of them are black women, he said, followed by senior citizens, younger black people, and college students. Many of them have also joined black gun clubs and the African American Gun Association. Jones said that on a good day, his chapter of the NAAGA can get as many as 5 to 10 inquiries about joining. So we've totally flipped it. Like, it's totally been flipped. Like, the idea that the guns were being, our guns are being taken from us, which was propagated by Republicans, ginning up fears of old white people to tell them that, you know, Obama's trying to take these away from you. And they go out and they buy a shit ton of guns, go out there and buy a shit ton of ammunition. Meanwhile, Obama is doing nothing of the sort. And after 8 years, they still got their guns. They still got all their goddamn ammunition. Right. And now we get a president. I hate even saying that. A dude occupying the fucking White House and Donald Trump. And black folks are now feeling like, yo, man, after his election and after during his campaign that he was talking about national stop and frisk, his hiring of Jeff Sessions as the attorney general, and the attorney general actually talking about ramping up some of the mandatory minimums that folks said Obama did nothing about when he was president. Like, yo, mandatory minimums was kind of going away. Now he's talking about, no, we need to bring those back. We need to bring back more aggressive policing. We need to bring back some of the 1990s drug era policing that kind of locked a lot of people of color up. Black people aren't trusting this government. They are not trusting this administration. And therefore, they are feeling as if nobody is there to protect them. So who's going to do that? We got to take that upon ourselves. And that whole dynamic has now flipped to where now more and more people, as the gun lobby, as gun sales across the country are going down, the people who are buying up the most guns now are black people. So I thought that was real interesting, just the position with the election of Donald Trump to putting him in the White House, right? Now, another thing concerning Donald Trump, which I thought was interesting, man. Now, we've gotten news that Donald Trump is launching a election integrity commission, right? Now, you know, first of all, like, the irony of that is funny. Like, Donald Trump is out here with... It came about like this. Donald Trump lost the popular vote when it came to the election with Hillary Clinton. He lost the popular vote by nearly 3 million votes. He contends that he would have won the popular vote as well as the electoral vote had there not been illegal voting, voter fraud, massive voter fraud in states like California and New York, and that it overwhelmingly benefited Hillary Clinton, and that is why he lost the popular vote. Now, he... In order to propagate this lie, he comes up with this voter integrity commission to sort of investigate voter fraud, right? Now, the irony is he's out here trying to investigate voter fraud because he believes that he would have won the popular vote had Hillary Clinton supposedly not benefited from illegally people voting illegally. He feels like he would have won the popular vote. Here's the irony of the entire situation, man. There's a Trump staffer that was found guilty of voting, I think it was like 10 counts of voter fraud. Now,
well, that'll be a monkey's bare-assed uncle.
This isn't even the first one, but we're going to read this story. We're going to read this story. This one here is coming out of the Independent, UK. A man who worked for Donald Trump's campaign in Michigan, it had to be here, right? Was found guilty of 10 counts of election fraud. Brandon Hall, a political activist, forged signatures on petition forms in 2012 and now faces up to 5 years in prison. The 27-year-old Grant from Grand Haven, along with his friend Zachary Savage, forged signatures in support of judicial candidate Chris Hautley. Mr. Savage received immunity from charges by the Attorney General's office in exchange for his testimony in the case, according to Grand Haven Tribune. The High Court overturned the Michigan Court of Appeals, and Hall was charged with felony, despite his defense arguing he should face misdemeanor charges due to a statement printed on the petitions. Hall and Mr. Houtley met when they were members of the Grand Haven School Board, but Hall was forced to resign from the position after being convicted of stealing from a school fundraiser. These are the people that are out here, like, stomping for the Trumpster. He's stealing from school fundraisers. He also thinks that Donald Trump being president is a really good fucking idea. He also ran for state house earlier this year for the 89th district seat, but was defeated in the Republican primary in August. In a statement, Progress Michigan, a group that holds public officials to account, said Hall's conviction was proof that a recount of the votes cast in the U.S. presidential election was needed in the state. Donald Trump has made the claim after claim, calling the integrity of the election into question, but his Michigan campaign had no problem hiring a staff member facing election law changes, Executive Director Lonnie Scott said in the Grand Haven Tribune. Now, the irony of the funny thing is, Donald Trump was going out here talking about we need to have an election integrity commission to go out and investigate a voter fraud. When, for one, it would put his own election in the question if he believes that people were voting that massively in fraudulent ways. It would put his own election into question. But he only believes that Hillary Clinton was the one benefiting from certain voter fraud in the United States. Now, ironically, man, I mean, like, this isn't the only instance of someone linked to Donald Trump or a Trump supporter being linked to voter fraud, right? So there was another story. Where was it? I thought I had it here. Of this lady who was also accused of voter fraud. Matter of fact, I just had this, but let me see if I can pull this up again. There we go. Trump voter fraud arrested. I knew I had searched this up earlier. Okay. And this story here is from January. This is reported out of the Washington Post. And it's taking a while for it to load. But here, as a matter of fact, let me show you guys this picture. Let me see if I can pull this up and screen share this real quick. Let's see. Screen share. So you guys can see what this woman looks like. And my screen is frozen. Come on. There we go. Yeah, let's share the screen. All right, it happened 3 times. But here she is. Looking quite pitiful, I might add, right? But yeah, man, this woman, her name is Terry Lynn Rowe. She was arrested. She was arrested for voting twice for Donald Trump. And in the process became a flashpoint in the voter fraud debate. Is incompetent as... Wait. A woman who was arrested after voting twice for Donald Trump and in the process became a flashpoint in the voter fraud debate is incompetent to stand trial, her attorney said in a motion filed in Iowa court. Terry Lynn Rowe, 56, was accused in late October of casting 2 ballots in the general election, an early voting ballot at the Polk County Election Office and another at the county satellite voting location, according to police records. Rowe, a registered Republican, remains charged with 2 first-degree election misconduct, and her felony case has been winding through Iowa courts. But her court-appointed attorney, Jane White, filed a motion last week saying Rowe has cognitive limitations and can't stay focused for long periods, things that mean she wouldn't be able to help prepare her defense, according to the Des Moines Register. It is unlikely that defendant can assist in her defense or participate in the trial process, Wright wrote. It is unknown if the defendant has been diagnosed previously with mental health disorder, but her interactions with counsel indicate to counsel that this may be the case. The motion came days before the man wrote double voted for announcing in what? How'd they write this? The motion came days before the man wrote double voted for announced in a series of tweets that he plans for a major investigation into allegations of wire voter fraud. I guess they're talking about Donald Trump. And Donald Trump tweeted, I will be asking for a major investigation into voter fraud, including those registered to vote in 2 states, those who are illegal, and even those who registered to vote and are dead, and many for a long time, depending on results, we will strengthen up voter procedures. The president's press secretary, Sean Spicer, sought to provide some clarity for Trump's remarks Wednesday. Spicer said the president wants a study or task force to study the issue of voter fraud, especially in bigger states, Johnson and Zaboski wrote. The probe would not just focus on the 2016 election, Spicer said. Now, the irony of Donald Trump and his administration seeking to get voter integrity ensured as his own campaign has benefited from alleged voter fraud, right? The irony of that. And it would call his own election into question. Now, like, I get it, man. Like, the election is over and everything. And I know, like folks are, like, really tired of, like, going back into that. And I'm sorry, because you're going to get some of that more into this show. But, yeah, man, like, outside of the scandals, outside of this motherfucker firing Comey and doing it because of the Russians wanted him to, and because he wanted to get rid of the investigation into Michael Flynn and all of that, and there's time to speak on that. We're just not going to do it tonight. But in spite of all of that, Donald Trump is out here also doing this silly shit as well, man. So that's going on, man. Real talk. Now, I know it's been a while. It has been a while since we've done this. But I got to bring it back, man. And I'm wondering, did I get rid of my music for this? And it looks like I did. I don't know how I did it, but it looks like I did. Oh, there it is. Just like that. It's been a while. It's been a good long while. But it's back.
Baby, it's sexy time with Mr. Span.
All right. Now, tonight on Sexy Time with Mr. Spam, we're going to talk about women and their fantasies, right? Actually, we're going to talk about what is it that women fantasize about the most. So, fellas, if you're listening, this might be the time for you to sit back, like really grab like a notepad and a pen, be really astute, and take some notes, because we're going to talk about what women fantasize about the most, right? So this article comes out of Business Insider. This is one place that I would not have envisioned this sort of material materializing in. But yeah, man, Business Insider had this article. And in it, they talk about a study from the Journal of Sexual Medicine. It says women's sexual fantasies do not always reflect what they want in real life, according to a recent study. For example, a large proportion of women in the study said that they fantasized about being dominated in some way. Half of those women specifically indicated that they would not want to live out their fantasy of sexual submission. So, a lot of women fantasize about being dominated, but that doesn't mean that's really what they want, right? Now, it says the team of researchers who conducted the study asked a pool of 1,516 men and women living in the province of Quebec, and most between the ages of 20 and 40, what they fantasize about when it comes to sex. The answers don't come from a comprehensive or culturally diverse group, but they offer an interesting sample. Of the 799 women studied, 6% said that they were homosexual, 12.6% said that they were bisexual, and the rest identified as heterosexual. In an online survey, the study group responded to 55 statements about their sexual fantasies using a 1-7 scale that measured the intensity of each fantasy. 7 is the most intense, 3 is the least intense, and a rating of 1 or 2 meant that the person did not fantasize about that act at all. Here are the 10 statements the highest percentage of women in the study said that they fantasized about. Okay, fellas, get your pens out. Not those ones. All right. Overall, sex in usual or romantic places was the most common fantasies, and fantasies of sexual submission were also among the most popular. Interestingly, Past studies have found that women who reported having sexual fantasies involving submission were more sexually satisfied than women without such fantasies. Some fantasies were not among the top most common, but were especially intense for the subset of women who reported having them. These included having sex with two women, watching two women have sex, having sex with a stranger. Now, should be noted that some of you niggas ain't as wanted as y'all think y'all is. Some of y'all might not just be like, you would think, like, well, not you would think. Some of y'all just really ain't as, like, they really ain't checking for you like that. As much as you probably think that they are, they really not really thinking about your ass, right? Some of the less common sexual fantasies women reported in the study were dominating someone sexually. That was at a 46% clip. These are some of the less common fantasies that women have. Watching someone undress without him or her knowing. Watching sex with two men. Wearing clothing associated with the opposite sex. Having their sexual partner urinate on them, the golden shower, having sex with an animal, were the least common sexual fantasies reported in the study. Below is the complete survey of questions with the percentage of women who reported fantasizing about each act. Okay, let's see. What were some of the more popular ones? I have fantasized about masturbating my partner. Was at 68.1%. Okay. I have fantasized about masturbating my partner. I have fantasized about being masturbated by my partner was higher at 71.4%. I have fantasized about being dominated sexually was at 64% of the respondents. I have fantasized about giving fellatio. 72.1% have fantasized about giving fellatio. 78% have fantasized about taking part in fellatio or cunnilingus. So oral sex is really, really strong here. Yep. People want to put their mouth on shit. I feel romantic emotions during a sexual relationship. 92% of people. Let's see. Another one. I have fantasized about being tied up by someone in order to obtain sexual pleasure. 50%. It's kind of high. I have fantasized about having sex with more than three people, both men and women. Another one. I have fantasized about having sex with more than... Wait, I read that one already. Damn you, spam. And another one here. I have fantasized about having sex in an unusual place, e.g. in the office, public toilets. Yeah. Wait, here's another one. Atmosphere and location are important in my sexual fantasies, 86%. So atmosphere and location and putting your mouth on stuff. Very, very, very important. When it comes to sexual fantasies, man. So, yeah. I thought that was interesting. I really did. And it was a long time since we had done a Mr. Span or Sexy Time with Mr. Span segment. So, yeah, there we go, man. Real talk. Lighten up the mood after all that Donald Trump talk, right? Now, I hate to go back to the politics after that. But I have to. I got to do it, man. I got to do it. I named this episode... Fuck Cornel West for a reason, right? So I got to talk about some more politics shit. And the reason that is fuck Cornel West is because of his politics and because of his just not owning up to bullshit, man. So Cornel West was one of the thorns in President Barack Obama's side, right? And a lot of it was based on personal pettiness about him not being invited to the inauguration after President Obama was elected the first time, right? So he, along with Tavis Smiley, took it upon themselves to grandstand and to go on a poverty tour and admonish Barack Obama for not particularly paying attention to the plight of the poor as he was beginning his presidency, right? And Cornel West, after, you know, last year or, you know, during the presidential campaigns, the Democratic primaries particularly, Cornel West was a very big, prominent Bernie Sanders supporter, right? And he, along with rapper Killer Mike, very big, you know, Bernie Sanders supporters. When Bernie Sanders wanted to appeal to black people when it came to voting for him, a lot of times Cornel West and Killer Mike were some of his more prime surrogates that he would send out, right? Ironically, I don't think Bernie Sanders understood that because Cornel West had been out here bad-mouthing Obama, that he wasn't very popular with a whole lot of black folks, right? And there was a reason for that. Like, President Obama was enjoying 92% approval rating when it came to black people in America. Right. And I know there's a contingent of black folks who, of course, black people not being a monolith and everything else, who would contend that, you know, the rest of, you know, black America was being romantic. You know, they were romanticizing President Obama, that we were glossing over some of the flaws that Obama had, that we didn't pay attention to, we didn't hold Obama accountable for a lot of the things that he did not do or did not promise to the African-American community. And some of the things that Obama did do for the African-American community, where they were kind of poo-pooing, you know, like when we talk about mandatory minimums, although that was not a specific black America problem, black Americans were disproportionately being affected by that issue. When we talk about college loan forgiveness, yeah, it was a whole lot of black women who were going through college. Black women are some of the most educated women or most educated people, segment of educated people in this country now, who are graduating with the most degrees now, are also being saddled with college loan debt, right? So although it might not necessarily have been aimed at black people, a disproportionate number of black people were being affected by those policies, right? So ironically, for all of the things that they say President Obama did not do, there's a whole segment of the country who feels like they have to undo all of these things that President Obama did. And this is part of the reason why they voted for Donald Trump and put all those damn Republicans in office. Let's not make mistakes with this. Right? So Cornel West takes his ass on Bill Maher. And he used to be like a regular on Bill Maher. And like, as a matter of fact, after the election, Cornel West kind of went AWOL. Like, Cornel West was kind of out of the spotlight. You weren't really hearing a whole hell of a lot of from Cornel West. You saw him all over the place when Bernie Sanders was running for president. Haven't really been seeing Cornel West out here extolling the calamity that is the Donald Trump occupying the White House. Haven't really seen him talking about it a whole hell of a lot publicly, right? And so he goes on Real Time with Bill Maher, and Bill Maher actually called him out on a lot of the rhetoric that he spoke on when it came to Hillary Clinton, the differences between Hillary Clinton, or as Cornel West would put it, the similarities between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, when he called them pretty much two sides of the same coin. So let me pull this up and we can check this here out. And I thought I had it on here and I don't, but no worries. No worries, we can go right to the young YouTubes and get it. Hold on just a second, folks, as I pull this up. Because I want you guys to see what I saw and understand what it is I'm about to rail against and why it's fuck Cornel West. Just a second. All right. Here's the video. Now, it's ironic. Someone posted this video and it says Cornel West speaks truth to Bill Maher. And I'm guaranteeing that is a Bernie Sanders supporter. But here's the video of Cornel West and Bill Maher getting into it.
Because I know this is a matter close to your heart. There was an acquittal this week of a police officer, Betty Jo Shelby from Tulsa. She shot Terrence Crutcher, a unarmed black man. She said she feared for her life. And then in South Carolina, Michael Slager shot Walter Scott in the back, running away, and that was a mistrial. And this argument that the cops get away with, I was fearful that they might do something erratic. I thought when you went into the police department, you understood that there was some danger in this job. I don't know where they got this idea that if I fear at all, I am allowed to shoot you. But that seems what's happening. And by the way, Trump is all for it, and Hillary Clinton wouldn't have been. Well, so, as someone who said...
So right at this point, Cornel West has like this little sheepish look on his face, like, you might got me there. You got this real sheepish grin on his face.
They were equally awful.
No, I didn't say equally
yes,
awful.
Yes, you did.
I said one was a disaster, another was a catastrophe.
Exactly my point.
But how a disaster is better than a catastrophe.
Well, that point was...
Now, right there, fuck Cornel West, right? He's playing a semantical game with this. Like, this shit doesn't matter. Like, the rhetoric that he was putting out really didn't matter all that much. The disaster is better than a catastrophe. It's worse than a catastrophe. Nigga, they... I'll listen to
you. Let's keep the focus where it belongs. The police have yet to go to jail when they end up in committing violence and murdering these young black brothers and sisters.
Right.
And the problem is we want a fair trial and for them, but there's a chronic racism that shot through and over again, but it's just not the police. Same is true with Wall Street. No Wall Street executives go to jail either. Rule of law comes down hard on the poor, and the well-to-do get off, or the police get off because they're protecting the property.
But Hillary's first...
Now, interesting thing about that point also, right? When Bernie Sanders was running for president, Bernie Sanders really couldn't actually speak to a lot of the issues that Black America was facing, right? Bernie Sanders talked a lot about income inequality and that if we fixed income inequality, then we would actually raise everybody up. Like all of us, like these societal issues would kind of go to the wayside if we actually made sure that everybody had well-paying jobs, that if we actually like had parity amongst amongst the wages, like if we got rid of the income disparities, then a lot of these things would be alleviated, right? He couldn't actually speak to the identity politics, so to speak. As a matter of fact, he's speaking against a lot of the identity politics. Bernie Sanders is right now actually talking to Trump supporters, who's courting Trump supporters. I believe Bernie Sanders is probably going to run again, right? 2020, I believe. He's probably going to run again. And he's setting the groundwork. Bernie Sanders is doing town halls and debates with John Kasich, on CNN. Why? You just ran for president, dog. You still out here doing town halls. You still out here doing debates against Republicans who may also have plans of running for office in 2020. But even then, Bernie Sanders couldn't speak to identity politics. He's trying to get folks to tamp down the identity politics, saying that we are making white people feel as though they are the minority in this country, that white people's concerns were not being addressed in this country, that working class whites they're actually courting the people who thought that voting for Donald Trump was a good idea. They're not courting the black vote. He wasn't courting the black vote when he ran the first time. And here it is, Cornel West trotting out the talking point of the income disparities and the elites and the people who are being castigated upon, basically the poor and the elites getting away with shit. Now, no one is saying that the elites should get away with shit. No one is saying it's because you're wealthy, you should be able to get away with anything. But the part of the problem with Bernie Sanders was that he couldn't actually address the issues of black folks and dismissed a whole hell of a lot of black folks when he decided he wasn't going to vote. He wasn't going to really campaign in the South. But here's more Cornel West.
First speech was about mass.
Hillary gave speeches about all kind of stuff, but it didn't have a whole lot of integrity in it, though, brother. That's
such bullshit.
That's not bullshit at all.
Really?
Look how they treated Bernie Sanders, man. They concerned about the Russians. Look how they treated Bernie Sanders. Bernie would have won if he had a chance. He would have won if he had a chance.
And this is why it's fuck Cornel West. And I'm tired. I am so fucking tired of this shit, right? As a matter of fact, I'm gonna let him continue.
Hillary can't even take responsibility for the fact that she lost the election.
Look what you did to him.
But he's so wrong.
Don't trot Hillary out on me now.
He's so wrong.
No.
Now, okay. And I wanted to get to that point before I actually expounded on the rest of this. He talked about Bernie Sanders not having a chance. Bernie would have won if he'd have had a chance. Bernie would have won if he'd have had a chance. Bernie Sanders did have a chance. Bernie Sanders decided he didn't think that black folks' votes were worth him going down south to compete for those votes. Bernie Sanders made that decision. Bernie Sanders pulled out of a whole lot of events at black colleges and universities, going to HBCUs to court those votes of those black college students. Bernie Sanders decided that the South was not worth fighting for because the South typically votes Republican in the primaries. Well, guess what, Bernie Sanders? You got to win the primaries before you can get to the general. And you didn't win the fucking primaries because you decided that there were votes that you just weren't willing to compete for. Those people weren't worth your time. Those people weren't worth your efforts. When it came to speaking on racial equality, when it came to speaking on racial issues, it always turned back to income inequality with Bernie Sanders. Now, check this out. I am all for income equality, right? Your man Span's got a job. I'm gainfully employed, man. I've had my gig for like, I've worked for a while, right? I make pretty good money. I am not hurting really. When it comes, like, I have no complaints. I have, like, under Obama, man, your man Span made it out good, right? I made it out okay, considering where I was the 8 years prior. I made it out pretty damn good after Obama, right? That still didn't stop me from getting arrested in Chicago. That didn't stop the police from fucking with me there. And I was employed then. The very first time I got arrested was not when I got arrested in Chicago. I was arrested here on the east side in Detroit. As I was at work, they arrested me while I was working. While I was working, yo, I was in my work uniform in the county. Right? In Macomb County, Trump country, locked up, right? In my work uniform, on some bullshit, soliciting without a permit, and I wasn't selling a goddamn thing. And of course, it was thrown out of court, just like that gun charge was thrown out in Chicago, right? Me having a job didn't keep the police from fucking with me. So this idea that identity politics needs to go away is some bullshit. And your boy Bernie Sanders was peddling that. Was peddling that. So then there's this talk that Bernie Sanders could have won if he'd have had a chance. This idea that the Democratic Party somehow blackballed Bernie Sanders, that they didn't give Bernie Sanders a shot, that they owed Bernie Sanders their nomination. Newsflash, dude, he's not a Democrat. He's independent right fucking now. Right now. As soon as that election shit was over, he went right back to saying, nah, I ain't with them. I'm by myself. They didn't owe him shit. He could have ran independent if he'd liked. If he really had the movement that he said he had, he could have went independent. Hell, even after he lost in the primary, he could have ran independent. We probably would have still got the same result. Donald Trump is fucking president, and he knew it, right? He knew it. So there's this contingent of Bernie Sanders supporters, Cornel West being one of them, where I'm just like, I'm at the point where it's just like, yo, fuck all y'all. Real talk, fuck all y'all, because it is this attitude that got us the person who's occupying that White House right now. That attitude. Where you think something was stolen from Bernie fucking Sanders, when Bernie fucking Sanders knows that it wasn't. When Bernie fucking Sanders didn't take his ass down south and allow those and compete for those votes. That's what lost him the primary. He did not compete for those votes. He didn't think those votes were worth the time, the effort. Because why? Southerners tend to vote Republican in the general. But you needed those primaries. You needed those delegates in the primary. And you thought you were going to get them in other places, right? He thought he was going to get them in other places. His delegate loss in the Democratic primary wasn't even as close as Hillary Clinton's and Barack Obama's. And yet he feels as if something was taken from him. Fuck out of here, man. So it's this attitude, man, like Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton were one and the same. And we would have been worse off with both of them. After seeing what the fuck we got in this White House over the past 120, 30 days, if you really believe that we would have gotten the same thing, you are out of your fucking mind. Out of your mind. And for that reason, man, it's fuck Cornel West. Real talk, man. And fuck anybody who thinks like that. That's how I'm feeling about it. We can't afford this sort of obtuseness from anybody. We can't afford it, man. Too much shit is at stake for niggas to be out here talking stupid and acting like they didn't say what the fuck they had said earlier. Like, Mark Lamont Hill was out here talking that same shit, and like, I'm a Green Party person. I'm voting for Jill Stein. And then Donald Trump gets elected, he's all like, "Oh, I didn't say Hillary was just as bad as Donald Trump." As if we didn't see this shit on CNN, as if we didn't see him doing fucking Breakfast Club interviews, talking this same shit, saying the same fucking rhetoric. He was cool with a Donald Trump presidency. Mark Lamont Hill was cool with a Donald Trump presidency. Said so on national fucking radio. Now all of a sudden he's got fucking amnesia. All of these cats who were talking up like they were ready to see the apocalypse. Hell, even Killer Mike on here talking about, "Well, we got allies now." No, the fuck you don't. No, you don't. So, yeah, man. Fuck Cornel West. Fuck him. I said it. So, yeah, man. It is what it is. But, oh, man. Yeah. Damn it. Yeah. That's it. That's all we got tonight, man. I'm going to get out of here. But before I go, got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Spanner Report. Let your voice be heard, man. Hit me up at the hotline. Area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. I'll play them on the show. Respond in kind. You can also email me at feedback@thespanreport.com. And that's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave me those emails. Of course, I'll read those emails here live on the show and respond in kind as well, man. Also, hit me up on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead and follow me there, man. Chop it up with your boy throughout the week. You can also leave a 5-star review on iTunes and on Stitcher. Let everybody know you fuck with us over here. And I'll read those reviews here on the show, man. So go ahead and do that for your mans, man. It's a very much appreciated favor that you can do for me here at The Spanner Report. And for all of your Spanner Report needs, go to www.thespannerreport.com. And you can check out the podcast, man. If you don't even if you don't have iTunes or Stitcher, man, you can go right to the website and just listen to the show right from the website. You can do that from your phone, too. So go ahead and do that, man. Vote in the polls. Leave comments on the shows, man. Everything's available at SpanerPort.com, man. Real talk. But yeah, I'm going to get out of here. Shout out to Trey Swindu. I see you in the chat room, brother. And I'm going to get out of here. But until next time, fam. Peace.